The conviction behind our edition is that Chaucer can be read in standard modern spelling and heard in any standard spoken English. And by Chaucer we mean the language of Chaucer himself, not a translation. The language of the edition is Chaucer's language, line for line, word for word. Chaucer's grammar, Chaucer's vocabulary, Chaucer's sentence structure. The only things that we have modernized in accordance with the practice for all other authors are spelling and pronunciation. So there will be some obsolete and archaic words. But this is true of the work of any author from a former era. And even with an author as old as Chaucer, these expressions are never so numerous as to hold up seriously the meaning of the narrative. Much of the pain of fighting the archaic spelling and archaic sounds is eliminated, so readers and hearers learn quickly to enjoy Chaucer, not merely endure him. The poetry remains great after the elimination of the difficulty of old spelling and old pronunciation, a difficulty that did not exist, remember, for Chaucer's contemporaries. The Canterbury Tales begins with a general prologue, in which the poet tells us how he happened to meet these 29 pilgrims on the way to Canterbury, how they agreed to tell the tales at the suggestion of the landlord of the Tabard, the inn where they stopped in Southwark in South London, and how they all appeared to the poet, their habits, their speech, their clothes, their attitudes, and so on. His account of the pilgrims here, before any of them gets to tell a tale, is a verbal portrait gallery with word pictures of the individuals who will later tell the famous tales. It has often been remarked, and it is worth remarking again, that this portrait gallery provides a wonderful cross-section of 14th-century English society. Not a complete and comprehensive survey, for Chaucer is a poet, not a sociologist, but one remarkable for its diversity. There are men and women, clerics and laymen, young, middle-aged and old, people who differ widely in their spiritual lives, their economic status, their tastes in clothes, books and food, those who need to travel constantly, and those for whom this will be the one major journey of their life, rogues and innocents, introverts and show-offs, saints, few, and sinners, many.